Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Happy Thursday to you. Happy Thursday to you. Titans and the old Buccaneers have wrapped up a second day of, I almost said Browns, because everything is Browns on TV. They are not playing the Browns, and Deshaun Watson will not be playing for a while, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, 11 games, $5 million. We got to at least say that till we get to talking about it.
11 games, $5 million. They must have a bye on week 12, because he keeps saying it's an 11-game suspension, but he can't come back until week 13.
And guess who they play? The Texans.
Yes.
The NFL is insane. They play the Texans and he comes back.
How many times does stuff like that happen? Like Baker Mayfield and the Panthers played the Browns to lead off first game.
That would go wink a dink. How do they know he's going to get traded there?
I think there's some psychic working there. And they go down and they're like, hey, man. Sorry, Madam Tussaud, why don't you do this? Rub your crystal ball and give us a couple things we need to schedule. Because this just happens too much in the NFL. It's just stupid, crazy stuff like this. But, of course, he comes back against the Texans. All right, we'll get to that. But Titans and Bucks, day two. It was interesting because we get there, and I'm like, wait a second. They're just wearing helmets and shoulder pads today. It's shorts. So, like, think of what a football player looks like. They're just wearing their shorts, but helmets and shoulder pads. It didn't matter. Oh, my gosh. Like, dudes got after it. I know you saw a really big hit that involved a former Titan. Ooh. I watched the other field again. I saw some big hits, but it was not. They played like they had every pad on they could get.
Yeah, they were still thudding. I think they said thud up. Well, it was more than thud up. It was like, hey, man, we tackling. And if he goes down, oh, well, I'm not going to take him down, but I'm going to hit him down. So, yeah, you know, just kind of going through the process before I start talking about the hit. Willis was running with the twos, which is kind of a big report. So I think they had a conversation with Woodside. We need to get him as much reps as possible and kind of see if he can continue to grow at the rate he's growing as a player at the quarterback position. So 707, he was just okay. I'm going to just give him okay. Maybe a little worse than that. But then, you know, he got in the red zone. He has a big connection with Chig and then another one with Hilliard. So I thought he was improving. McMath had a drop. Farley had an interception. He had a comeback rebound day. As far as totality, I think you were on that field. I was still on the offensive side. So, all in all, I still want to say it was a little more even today. It's kind of hard to say who won or lost, at least with the first group. You know, Tannehill at times had to hold on to the football, especially in the two-minute drive. He would have been sacked a couple times. But
he actually got sacked on one of those. So like, sacked down on the ground.
I would say it was even or maybe lean towards more Tampa Bay today in certain instances. They were talking smack a lot today out there. But the play I'm talking about, and it's really embarrassing to me if I was out there, and I don't know what year Logan Ryan is in. He's in 11. But a veteran guy who's a starter out there, and a former Titan, by the way, and it's not supposed to be, you know, no tackling. So they're doing the red zone error, at least that's where they were, and Haskins catches the ball. And he's literally like at the 1 yard line. He is chugging. Like in the open field, it was a pass. Mm-hmm. Logan Ryan comes to kind of just try to thud him up. And like on the inch line, in the open field to the flat to the left, he might as well have been on the spin cycle. He got hit so hard.
Did he do the John Elway?
He did a helicopter.
Ooh.
Yeah, he did a helicopter. Haskins had 10th year. He hit it. So that was, I played 10. He did a helicopter. He got hit so hard. As soon as I landed, I would have bounced off that ground and charged him because he had plenty of space to go other places. It was definitely intentional by Haskins to, I'm sending a message, I'm running you over. And it was like, you know, 2 or 3 yards in between them. So he saw him. So I think Logan thought he was just going to like thud up and it's just like, yeah, Tampa Bay versus Tampa Bay, right? No. I was like, whoa. And then he got up after the helicopter and just jogged his butt on up to the sideline. There's no way in nowhere and no how inside of my body that would have been okay. I would at least got up and pushed him. Ain't no, especially no rookie. So that tells me right there the intimidation factor is on the Titan side as far as the physicality just by that one play because nobody came to defend Logan Ryan. It was nothing. And it was a lot of pushing and shoving out there, mostly always revolving around somebody called Kong. I call him Kong now. Everybody else calls him Big Jeff.
Kong didn't play a whole lot, but every time Kong
why did Kong not play a lot?
Because every time he got in, it was some violence about to happen and pushing and shoving and fighting.
I told you they was going to come back. Those offensive linemen was going to come back. And somebody was going to say, no, not today. Not today. And that's exactly what was going on. You know, people will push it like, nah, no, you know, we don't get punked around here. We 300 pound too. You may be cone and we may be baby cones, but we are not going to bow down. And so that's what happened. And the Titans had to pull the King Kong out. Yeah. Every time something happened, because he was not stopping. He was pointing at people, talking to people. I mean, it was a sight to see.
Yeah.
And guess what? I would have been like, hey, man, y'all better leave that dude. I told you what they should have done. They should have got that dude's number and said, hey, man, settle down.
And practice ended because I didn't realize how far he had come. There have been multiple reports. Leonard Fournette basically ran across the field to punch Kong. Punch Jeffrey Simmons. Then KJ Britt got involved, the linebacker for the Bucs, and then Vrabel got in the middle of it, and I think Byard tried
Vrabel
to break him up.
Vrabel was all up in that when I saw him.
He's always in the middle of it. And, yes, trying to break it up.
Oh, because it might have got way bad.
Yeah,
he was there, to be honest, because I think that was the tipping point, like, this is it. I'm about to go after people.
Yep.
And he was, Don was about to destroy everything in his way.
Like a city.
They were right. That's how I was thinking, too. Yes. Yeah, that's it is. The city would have been people. He would have just been vroom, vroom. Like, just throwing people, man. It was, I mean, so I know he had a couple of scuffles down there, and they yanked him out because it was just, you knew they were going to come after. I told you they were. It was no way. And he wasn't going to back down. I knew it. He said, we set the tone. That's why I was making fun of that. He was not playing. Yeah, he is not playing. Watch this. The NFL, other teams, they better watch out. This guy is now on a whole nother plane. His confidence level, he knows how good he is now, and he knows he can dominate games and destroy things. So I'm looking forward to just watching him. This is on the level of Albert Haynesworth, Defensive Player of the Year, except consistently. And Albert, that year, did it every single play, every game, and not 1 year and the next year kind of do it, show flashes. This guy's grown to this, and it's about to happen. We're lucky to get to say that we get to watch this type of player. I mean, this is a special. This is on my era. Javon Kearse was kind of that special player. He that guy. And I've talked about it numerous times. This guy's special. And they better leave this dude alone. I'm glad that's why they came out there with probably shoulder pads. They thought that would slow things down.
Yeah,
no,
it did not.
No, it would not. Not Jeff.
It did.
He plays like that all the time with pads on or not. As far as pants,
I can tell you this.
And they kind of got to his legs a couple times too.
They kept Coach. Him out of everything to start practice. So they ran, as far as I can tell, he ran one individual pass rush drill. He got blocked up pretty good, and then he went and took his helmet off. Like, hey, that's it. Go take your helmet off. So they go run a whole team period. He didn't do anything in the team period. So, again, 11 on 11. They run this pass rush drill for a little bit. So it started team period. Then they run the pass rush drill just for a little bit. He got one rep, take your helmet off. So they go back to team, put the ball on the two-yard line. Okay. Jeff goes out there.
Oh, my.
First play, he's in the backfield and, like, just going at guys. And he wound up on his back. Now, I'm trying to watch where, like, the ball is going, and I look back, he's flat on his back, and I see, like, the old lineman kind of over him, like, don't get up. So, you know, whistles blow, and the old lineman, like, tries to get his hand, and he, like you were saying yesterday, like, maybe be nice to him. Like, you know, try to make nice. Offensive lineman kind of offers him, knocks his hand out of the way, then he gets up on his own, and then it's like, then it's on again. I'm everybody, sure, like, then they go get me, Jeff, no, sideline.
Go out.
You're out. Jeff, you're out, Jeff. You're out. So Jeff goes out. So he ran one play. So he's doing drills and stuff with his teammates, but he didn't do a lot. So at the end of practice, they do this 2-minute offense.
Mm-hmm. That's right over there, right where I was at.
So what was it? Second play, he tipped the ball, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm trying to find all my notes here, but on the second play of team, Jeff jumped up and tipped the ball in the air, and it looked like while he was in the air, somebody's like, "Ooh, he's up in the air." And the next thing I know, he's on the ground. Mm-hmm. And the next thing I know, is a bunch of guys saying stuff to each other again. Uh-huh. Like you said, it's like, hey, you got us yesterday. We had to sit through that film session.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes, we're getting you back today.
And that film session for those offensive linemen to try to block Jeff, it's not one, hey, man, y'all got to do a better job. It's a MF, bleep, 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 bleep. Y'all gonna let him do bleep, 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 bleep. Who got some backbone? We about to see right now. It's time to grow up. I don't care what third string, center, fourth, it doesn't matter. I better grow some right here. This dude is not playing. Y'all better come out here with a different mindset. And so basically practice ended because of Jeff. Real talk. Ray was out there. I felt like he wasn't throwing punches, but he was trying to grab people, move them, and he had them long arms out there and was trying to push people. And boy, he got it under control. He was not going to. So then they all broke up, and they, you know, Tampa Bay went on the field and they had a conversation. Nobody knows what was said there, but I figured that that would happen. But all in all, you know, I felt like, you know, it was just an okay day. We got to see Willis make some really tight window throws in the red zone. So he threw a couple touchdowns. So it looked like he was really trying to be conscious of getting rid of the ball, trying to stay on time. You know, sometimes it worked, sometimes not. So I think the more and more he goes through this process, he'll continue to improve. That's what I'm looking for. So I want to watch him in a game in live action, see if that actually happens and not just in practice. Got to, you know, get it in a game. So, yeah, it was really, you know, it was exciting to see. But, you know, Farley he got a pick. He got a pick at the end of one of the 2 minutes. It was a deep ball, and somebody ran a curl, and I think they were trying to throw it away, and he just floated up and went and got it. He's supposed to make that play, but, you know, hey, he made it. So, hey, good job.
He made the pick. I went back and looked, too. They ran one more series against the Titans, one defense. It was three plays, and he had a PBU to end the whole thing and then the fight.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So they ran three last plays, and it looked like he and McCreary had a PBU. They had a real nice run. 29 is a rookie running back for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're talking about, Logan Ryan, Haskins was like, I'm just going to hit you.
Oh, he had a bad day because Phillips abused him a couple times in one-on-ones.
Well, 29, the Bucs on the first team period against the Titans defense, and Vrabel talked about this, they ran like 8 straight run plays. And Titans like made a play. Then 29 ran to the right just between the guard and the tackle, gets loose. And one of the Titans DBs came up to tackle him, and he was like, okay. And he did the thing where he dipped his shoulder and then exploded into him, like trying to knock him off his feet. The running back did.
Yeah, we call that uncoiling.
He uncoiled. Coil.
Boom!
So then it's a whole bunch of people came and had words about that, and he was expletive, I ain't expletive, mm-hmm. You and your mama and them, and expletive, everybody, all of them, MF and expletive.
He was talking to Brett, yeah.
Yeah, and so, and this was even without Big Jeff, like things escalated even without Jeff on that end, but he uncoiled on that particular play, but 29 had a nice run. They ran two more plays, 21 and 3, so McCreary and Farley kind of got. We were on the far sideline, and somebody said, I think you could have given both of them a PBU on that play. Like, both had their hands in. Then Farley ended it with a PBU, mm-hmm. And then Fournette ran and punched Big Jeff.
Fournette ran and punched.
That's how it ended.
I was like, wow. They had no choice. It was over. I thought it was going to be another period, but
I did, too.
Yeah, that was it.
They were like, that got
to the edge.
We got to go.
People went over the top. It overflowed. It was done. So, you know, hey. Real productive day still, though. Anybody stand out on the defensive side when you were over there more so than any other day besides Farley having a better day, you know, a good day? We're just talking about secondary perimeter players. Anybody, what did anybody get sacks? Like, was Dupree or Weaver? Anybody?
When they
linebacker
were
David Long, how's he doing over there, Cunningham?
David Long was, like, nose, face, always in on run plays. Every time you look, he's in the backfield, like in the pile. Everybody gets up. 51 is one of the last guys to get up, so he was at the bottom. He was part of that. I'll say this. The Titans didn't have a particularly good pass rush drill. They had three offensive linemen and one defensive lineman or linebacker would kind of like pick his guy and go at him and like try to get to the guy holding the ball who was, quote-unquote, the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And the Titans didn't have a particularly good period.
Mm. Now, they said the defense started slow compared to yesterday.
So I'm kind of watching. Although Vrabel said that, and I thought the Titans' run defense looked good. No. Vrabel said, I didn't like the way they looked, and maybe they were getting a yard or two. Now, 29 got loose and then uncoiled on. Maybe it was 38 of the Titans. But I was watching, like, trying to watch 7-on-7 and the individual pass rush drills at the same time. But I'll say this. They were like, let's go one more. Weaver. Rashad Weaver gets out there. Mm. The O-lineman never touched him. He went like at him hard to the right, and when guy committed to the right, he ran right past him to the left and ran right up on the guy with the ball. He would have obliterated the quarterback on that play. Mm. So I love that rep from Weaver. The Titans defensive linemen continue to be real active. In the team stuff that I saw, like Vrabel said, they didn't throw the ball. They just ran it. They just kept running it over and over and over. That's the thing. I guess they said, okay, we got to get better at running. So they ran. I didn't see Leonard Fournette. It was other guys.
Especially against the Titans, just because.
Who are great run defense.
Right. Well, also, Vrabel, you know, with the Titans team, just whether it's offense or defense, it's going to be physical.
Yep.
So if you can run the ball on the Titans, you can run the ball against anybody. And I think that's what Tampa Bay was like, okay, this may happen. And we may have to run the ball a little bit more, especially if Tom's not here, or just to protect Tom a little bit at times and trying to, you know, run the clock out. So, yeah. Yeah,
it was, I mean, Caleb Farley had a nice run stop. Cunningham had a nice run stop. I mean, there were several. Oh, I know we got to go. One of the other things, 29 earlier in that same drill where he uncoiled, he tried to punch somebody at the end of a play and he missed. Nobody saw it. They were kind of scrumming at the end of the play and he wound up and took a full punch and just missed. So I was like, hey, but he didn't connect. So it didn't amount to anything. He took a full punch at somebody and they were far enough away. I couldn't tell. I even wrote in my notes, 29 missed a punch.
While he was running the ball?
Yes, after a play. Like, just kind of in the scrum, he got up and, like, put the ball down and tried to...
That don't sound too smart. I mean, people got on helmets.
No, you kids never punch anybody with a helmet on. Hey, it was, man. Chance Campbell he tried to punch, hey, the man. Rookie linebacker. That's right. And he just missed him completely.
I'm just telling y'all, yeah, I know I'm joking, and Kong and Big Jeff and all this other stuff, man. I've seen people literally rip a face mask off the hinges of a helmet. And I, like, just one time. I've seen that multiple times when it got into some skirmishes. Ooh. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Some people just don't understand how strong these individual people are.
Well, we need to rip the face mask off segment number two of the show. We will do that with Chelsea Messenger, the betting expert from the Daily.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow. Nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
Tip, she was great last week. She's joining us next here on Blaine and Mickey. Get some bets lined up. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. We're big on social graces. And slip on down to our Oasis every day from 1 to 3. How about that for a Garth Brooks
that was
back
fantastic.
In Brett Bachelor?
That was well done by you.
Thank you, sir. Brett Bachelor hanging out with Lucas. Lucas is back in with an armload of food. He just came in and offered
just teasing.
Bite of his sandwich.
Yeah, his pound cake and everything.
Pound
else.
Cake?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He looked like he just came from the beach or something. He got a little glossy tan.
Chelsea Messenger, maybe she just came from the beach, or maybe she's eating lunch like Lucas or both. Chelsea joins us now, of course, from the Daily Tip. She is a gambling expert that we like having on the show. Chelsea, what are you up to right now? I understand you've had a busy day so far.
Yeah, this is my third show that I've been on today. I've been up since 3:30 a.m., always am, because I do a show 5 to 8 a.m., 3 hours of sports betting talk, which I love doing, but it's already been a very busy day.
Oh, my goodness. I know you had a little one. I thought maybe you'd been up doing mom stuff since 3, but you've been up doing betting stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's my day.
That's the baby right there. I don't know.
Yeah, I start my day looking at the lines and the prices and how they move throughout the day, so it is a full-time gig.
What is the single I'll give you an example. We had our friend Jordan DeJani on yesterday. He's with CBS Sports, and he can answer questions about lots of things, and we'll ask him some gambling questions. Somebody bet like $1,500 on Will Fuller to lead the NFL in touchdown catches. He's not on a team right now, but it greatly changed his odds. It's amazing to me sometimes when you see one bet that could literally change the odds so greatly for everybody like that.
Well, because the books aren't projecting what they think the outcome is going to be. They put the line at where they think they're going to draw the most two-sided action. Mm-hmm. So sometimes if they're saying, say, the Lions, 6.5 games, and that's their win total, they're not saying that they think that the Lions are going to get 6 or 7 wins. They are saying that's the line where we're going to see the most two-way action, and they're covering liabilities. That's why when you're betting on the most publicly bet teams, the Cowboys, the Chiefs, in baseball, like the Yankees and the Dodgers, you're never going to get a good price because they're always pricing them because more people like to bet on those teams. So keep that in mind when you're betting on the best teams in football, in baseball, in whatever sport you're betting on.
Getting some real information here from Chelsea Messenger, who joins us. All right, Titans and Bucks on Saturday, probably no Tannehill. We know no Derrick Henry. Tom Brady is Lord knows where. How are you looking at this game on Saturday?
God, I have to do preseason games?
Come on.
This
yeah.
is the worst.
God, I was going to ask
just
you, like,
one. Come
how,
on.
How do you do preseason games? Like, I mean, especially they're scoring a lot of points, too, by the way. Well, at least last week.
Well, the totals were so low because last week all the totals were in the 30s, and the books yep. have corrected themselves, and all the totals are closer to 40 this week. But the one I will say tonight between the Bears and the Seahawks, that total has already dropped 1.5. It was 41.5. Now it's down to 39.5. Because if you remember, the totals on Bears games last season were usually in the 40s for regular season games because their offense is so god-awful. So wow. I think that's the one where maybe an under is still in play. I know there's a quarterback competition going on in Seattle, but still, if you take away the deep balls that they had last year, for DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, and you take away Russ, that was most of their offense. It was a very pedestrian offense that was kind of like in the 1990s. So that's the only preseason game that really sticks out to me. But other than that, like, it really is a crapshoot, and I would not advise anybody to put a ton of money on, you know, the Titans and Bucks on Saturday.
There you go. Real-life advice from Chelsea Messenger, at Chelsea Messenger, who joins us now on Blaine and Mickey.
Well, Chelsea, now that the verdict is out on Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns, how much did that impact, if at all, the odds on them maybe making the playoffs or how many games they may win or anything? Just kind of take us through how that affected the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, it was already kind of built into the price because the books weren't really expecting for the Browns to do much. And if you look at that division, it's almost less to do with Deshaun Watson and more to do with the strength of the AFC North. Look at the Bengals. They just went to the Super Bowl. Look at the Ravens. They're actually favored to win that division. So I think the only thing that might be the X factor is that the Browns start off really easy. Their schedule is an absolute cakewalk to start the season. I believe they have the Panthers, the Jets, the Steelers, and the Falcons. So the first four games of the season should be pretty easy. Jacoby Brissett is a fine, you know, stand-in quarterback. And plus, I think the X factor that nobody's talking about when Deshaun Watson comes back, is he going to be rusty? It has been a long time since he has played in a regular season NFL game, and we saw him like a tiny bit in the preseason. What was he, 1 of 5 for 7 yards? Mm-mm. So, yeah, like he was a great player back then, but there might be some rust.
Mm. And by the way, who is he playing? The Texans when he comes back. Only fitting that the NFL made that happen, right? They planned that, didn't they?
Yeah, they know what they're doing. We laugh, but we know exactly what they're doing. I think the only impact you can make for the Browns from like a fantasy or cross perspective, they're probably going to lean on Nick Chubb a little bit more. And like I said, the schedule is very easy the first four games of the season. So would expect some big numbers from Nick Chubb first half of the season because they do have a good run attack. I'll give them that.
Well, naturally, kind of take us through what you look at that first week of the NFL and maybe that some trends that you start seeing through the preseason to kind of help you come up with some of these trends, or do you even do anything like that?
I just saw a trend, and I wish I had it in front of me, how divisional underdogs actually perform really well in the first week of the season. So if you're looking at a team who is playing another team in their division, which I'm trying to find one, but we see that in the AFC South all the time, where people who do not follow a team on a regular basis, they say, oh, the Titans should, you know, beat up on the Texans and beat them by, you know, 21. That's not always the case. I feel like there's something with divisional underdogs that's usually a strong play if they're getting a lot of points.
Is it always a good play? Because they're always going against the Titans here the last couple of years that they wouldn't win and that the Colts would win. So is that a good bet to bet that the Titans win the AFC South, or is that a little too risky?
Well, here's the thing. The Titans never get any love from the national media. And we've talked about this before, how the Titans are amazing when nobody expects them. Mm-hmm. Last season, they were 6-2 straight up and against the spread as underdogs, being some of the best teams in the NFL. So the problem is, I don't know how to quantify this, but the Titans, when everybody counts them out, that's usually when they're at their best. And everybody's counting them out to win the AFC South this season because they were favored to win the AFC South. Now they're underdogs. Now it's all about the Colts. It's all about Matt Ryan. But I feel like we've heard this story before, have we not?
No doubt about it. I know you do. You do college football as well? Because I want to ask you, I know it's a little small spread, but I'm really interested in this Tennessee versus Ball State. Since I was a Ball State graduate, I know, I think it was around 30 long a while back, but is it gotten bigger?
I have no idea. I'm not going to lie. I have not circled that one on the calendar.
That should be the number one game that you're looking for.
I tell you what, I have looked at, I think Vanderbilt's laying 7 points against Hawaii. And I thought to myself, Vanderbilt laying points against anybody, especially going on the road to Hawaii, what are we doing here? Unless I don't know something about Vanderbilt football, go ahead and come at me. Maybe I'm wrong here, but I don't know. That one did jump off the page to me.
Chelsea Messenger, from host of the Daily Tips, as well as the National Sports Betting radio show on Odyssey.
All right, let's talk about Treylon Burks as potential rookie of the year. Maybe what do you think about him, and who else do you like?
Yeah, all of the love is going towards George Pickens right now. Now he has moved to the favorite to win this award. And I think the big question mark is, well, who's throwing to him? Can he make all these big, prolific plays if he doesn't have a dynamic quarterback throwing him the ball? Because that's where I think Treylon Burks has the advantage. Because I know the national narrative is that Ryan Tannehill sucks. Everybody says that. But, like, I would still put him way above what they have for the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh. So I think you do have to consider that. If you're looking at the history of the award, 6 of the last 12 rookie of the years on the offensive side have been quarterbacks. And so it's been split pretty evenly. It's not quite as tough to win it as, say, MVP. But I think he has a good shot, especially if you think that all – it sounds like he's doing really well in practice that I've heard. I'm not at training camp every day. I'm not sure because I know you guys are. But certainly a guy with high potential. I think it's anybody's race.
One of the things you sent me when we were setting up the appearance, it was a bet you really liked for over on receiving yards, right? A certain Chiefs tight end?
Yeah, I like a lot of tight end props. I like Travis.
You like tight ends.
Over 1,000 yards this season. He's hit this number in 6 straight seasons. Why would you start fading him now? I know everybody's going to say, well, Tyreek Hill's gone, and I know they work in concert together because one's a deep ball threat, one's over the middle, and obviously that works well with the offense. But you're still talking about a quarterback in Patrick Mahomes that I think can get him the ball. You're still talking about one of the best offensive minds in the NFL and Andy Reid. I think they'll find a way to use their best weapon on the offense. I think he goes over. I think Mark Andrews for the Ravens is a guy that nobody's talking about. He had over 1,300 receiving yards last season. And continues to be the number one guy for the Ravens. If you look at the rest of the receivers on that roster, I think they have combined for like 1,200 total career yards. That's less than what Mark Andrews had last season by himself. So you talk about target share, I think he's going to be the guy for the Ravens once again this season.
My Titans prop for you, Austin Hooper is going to catch 65 6-yard passes this year. You can just take that and make money on it. Chelsea Messenger, our guest here on Blaine and Mickey.
Well, you're talking about players of the year. I'm just interested in see on the defensive side, since I was a defensive guy, what are the numbers for the guys leading the Ford? And is Jeff Simmons, is he even in the radar of it?
I don't think so, and I feel like he should. Man, he's been a great draft pick, right? I think we swung and missed on a few of our draft picks, but he was a good one. I think some players to watch is possibly Khalil Mack, a former NFL Defensive Player of the Year, going to a new team now. Also, maybe a sprinkle on Chandler Jones. If you're a Titans fan, you remember him pretty well because he sacked the Titans 5 times in the first game of the season last year with the Cardinals. He's now with the Raiders, who are running a different style of offense. I forget the change that they're making, but it's the offense that he's used to running in Arizona. So I think they'll lean heavily on him. If he can make a presence for himself in the AFC West, a quarterback-driven league or a quarterback-driven division, I think he can make some noise for NFL Defensive Player of the Year as well.
And naturally, I have to then ask you the Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, that's a tough one because it's not just quarterback. Usually the Offensive Player of the Year is a running back or a skill guy. Cooper Kupp is a guy that normally jumps off the page, you know, because it's going to be hard for him to replicate what he did last season because he ran the triple crown for receivers. You know, that's not something you see every day. God, like, do you want to talk me off Derrick Henry? Do you want to say that he's not going to get the target share this year? Because that's the thing. I know he's coming off an injury, but look at the NFL running backs across the board. Who's going to get more of a target share than Derrick Henry? Because it seems like the Titans are going to run the football, whether the other team knows it's coming or not. Like, that just seems to be the identity of the Titans. So, yeah, it's a homer pick, but I don't care.
All right. Well, cool. That's always cool with us. But I guess give us lastly for me, and that is Super Bowl odds, and where are you at with that? Who give us the top three odds from AFC, NFC?
Yeah, I think my long shot play to win the Super Bowl is going to be the LA Chargers. Looking at their defense, that was their problem last year. They could not stop the run last season. They had excellent quarterback play from Justin Herbert, had the second most yards in the NFL, and a lot of times it was just the Chargers charging. Isn't that the quote? Because late in the games, just things would just fall apart for him. And you've got to remember that Brandon Staley is a young coach, too. So I think he has some room for improvement. Their defense just got a whole lot better. Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, J.C. Jackson, Derwin James. You're talking about a defense that got eons better during the offseason. So I really like the Chargers, and especially when you have a young quarterback who people are comparing to Aaron Rodgers and saying he's a bigger version of Aaron Rodgers. I think I like my chances there. I'll take the Chargers 14-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Ooh. All right, get out of that tough division, man. That's going to be a crazy one to watch. Chelsea, great stuff. Thanks for educating us again. Can't wait to talk to you again. Let everybody know all the places they can find you and the stuff that you do.
Yeah, if you want to watch the show and you're up very early, it's 5 to 8 a.m. Central Time, the Daily Tip. Wherever you get your Odyssey stuff, it's on the free Odyssey app, or you can just download the podcast. If you're not up that early, just search the Daily Tip wherever you get your podcast. And I tweet out a bunch of stuff, too. At Chelsea Messenger is my handle on Twitter. So, yeah, there you have it.
And you also appear in cut-ins on this station. Like last week, as soon as you left the show, which it may happen again today, you have a betting cut-in that comes on our station so people can hear you all the time on here. Oh, it is. It's coming up next. So you'll hear yourself next on here. How about that?
Make sure you tune in.
Yeah, that's the BetQL 5-star play of the day. So those are the computer plays, but I am the voice for it. So, yeah, thanks for having me on, though. Really appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. We'll talk soon at Chelsea Messenger. When we come back, a lot of talk about the day that Caleb Farley had. What did Mike Vrabel say about the day that Caleb Farley had? We'll have that next. Blaine and Mickey. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. You want to talk about anything today? Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline is open, 615-737-1045. Caleb Farley, interesting day for him. I did get a nice pass rush or a pass
breakup
from him on Julio Jones. They ran right at me and split me at the end of the play. You see it on my Twitter at Mickey Ryan 104.5.
They split you in half?
They split themselves in half because they didn't want to run over the tiny person behind the goal line or behind the end zone. But a lot of talk about Caleb Farley in this camp, and he doesn't have the most experience. He's had a lot of injuries, so he's been on the field a lot. He gets reps with the ones. I noticed
he's been available.
He's been available. And one of the best abilities is availability. My goodness. I used to think of the old Frank Wycheck. You can't make the club in the tub.
He stayed out of the tub. Conversations, especially vets that you're talking about. And that's why the pressure to play is coming from you internally, because if you're not available, you're giving a shot to someone else, regardless if they're as good as you or not.
is they could cut pay, could be move on just because may not be as good, but you know, we can get by with that guy. You know, so yeah, and that's the way it is. And he's a young player, so the more reps he does and the more comfortable he gets out there with the way his body is structured after those injuries and surgeries, I think we're going to continue to see him grow and improve. And he's going to have some up and downs. I'm sure he's still a young player who has a lot of upside. So if he could stay healthy, continue to get the reps, he's going to get better. He was a lot better today compared to yesterday. So we saw it. He made adjustments and figured it out. Let alone the coaching that they have at each position group, which is really fundamentally sound by the coaching staff. So I really appreciate that, especially watching what they do in individuals and their drills to continue to grow as players. That was kind of a lost art. Once you get into the NFL, it's more teaching you about the game plan and more so than teaching you all the technical things to stay on top of your fundamentals. And I think that's what Vrabel and those guys do.
Vrabel actually talked about Caleb Farley, and they did a 2-minute type drill at the end of practice today. Farley had an interception to end one of the Chiefs' possessions, had a couple of PBUs to end basically the final drills of these 2 days of practice. And Mike Vrabel talked about what he's seeing from the second year Titans cornerback after practice.
Absolutely. You know, from what I saw, I think he was, you know, again, he comes in with a great attitude every single day. I mean, he's had a long rehab. And he spent a lot of time in his building in the offseason, and he wants to be good. He wants to help us. He wants to define a role for himself. And I think he was exhausted. I think he was excited about coming out here and practicing. And, I mean, early on in practice, he looked like he was worn out. You know, we've talked about that to our entire team, about making sure that, you know, we're not so anxious about the practice or the game that's going to happen. You know, we have to be able to stay neutral, stay in the moment, and then execute when the ball snaps. We have to save every ounce of energy that we have for the play.
Got exhausted. I always used to wonder about that. Everybody wants to play on national TV, but like if you play at noon, it's like get up, get your game face on, have your breakfast, whatever it is that you eat or don't eat in the morning, but you get to the stadium and then you just get into your rhythm. You sit around till 7-8 o'clock at night, I would lose my mind. Especially on the road, just in the hotel, I would be like, I got to get on the first bus. I want to go to the stadium now.
I'm going to tell you, for me, it was on the road was better. Because you're always like, oh, man, I want to play on Monday night, especially when you first get in the league. You're young. You're pumped up. I want to play in a TV game. I want all my friends and family and everybody to watch. And, you know, hopefully you have a good game, right? But then you start realizing how your change of your routine is now different. And you really start going, oh, man, I don't know if I really like this. And so you kind of program yourself to kind of sleep in, maybe watch a little film or watch a movie, you know, during that time you're off, or you maybe watching another game or something, what have you, just to kind of relax and get away from football, then come back in, you know, late afternoon to, you know, get ready for the game. Because if you get a little consumed, that kind of builds up, you know, adrenaline and everything else, nerves that you don't need. So you had to get adjusted to it, to your point, man. I completely agree with that as much as I wanted it. And then afterwards, as being in the league 2 or 3 years, like, man, that we're playing in the Green Bay and it takes us an hour to get to the airport. And then we're going to finish like at midnight and then shower. We're going to get home at 4 in the morning. You know, people never take that, you know, it's just like, oh, man, that's, and then you go, oh, well, you got to check in, especially if you got an injury. And even if you nicked up, you almost want to say you're not nicked up. If it's like, you know, something you just need to ice, like, I'm ice at home, man.
Right.
They go, yeah, don't come in till Wednesday. See you Wednesday. Well, I know, because today is Tuesday already. So those things do happen, even if it's a Thursday night or a Sunday night. It kind of throws you off. We're a creature of a habit, and that kind of throws you off. But you forget about all that once the lights click on and everything else. So it's still exciting to kind of reach a point where, you know, you got to accomplish something that you maybe thought was far out there and you would never achieve. And that was playing in the National Football League, let alone on those big bright lights, you know, on national TV.
Man, oh, everybody dreamed. I noticed this today. I know we got to go to break, but I thought about you because Tyree Gillespie was out there, the new safety.
Oh, from the Raiders. That
he was wearing 25. Did you see his arm?
No, I saw he had a brace on when he went into the facility.
A club. Full club. Like you had.
Oh, so he had a like one of those wrist black braces you get like at the doctor's office. You
right, know, Walgreens.
Where like the guys, the bowlers wear, like almost look like that. So I knew something was up.
They had that rascal like the Blaine Bishop Club today.
Oh, man, did he utilize
it? Well, I mean, hey, man, I just got here. Where's my suit? He put me out there. That dude was out there a bunch.
Yeah, I think he's got some upside to him. Just need to work on playing in space deep and not being too aggressive when you're back there. Understand scheme and system embedded in him because he's an aggressive natured player. Reminds me of myself, and it took me a minute to say, I had to be patient, stay in my pedal for cover two, and I'm in the hole, don't get too aggressive. Peyton Manning got me my first time in the hole. Pump fake right and come back right down the seam, right where I'm supposed to be.
Oh.
I got it. Oh, I'm going to go get it. Boom. Nope. I'm supposed to be right there.
Got you, Blaine.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. I said that would never happen again.
All right. Hour number two will happen again. It'll happen next. Open phone lines. Jeff in Clarksville wants to talk about the Titans defense. Jeff Hull will get to you. Lines are open, 615-737-1045. We hear from Derrick Henry about workload. We got all kinds of stuff coming up. A lot of Titans talk in the second hour. Also do need to get into this Deshaun Watson stuff a little bit. There is a judgment that has been handed down, an appeal judgment on Watson. We'll get into that as well at some point in the second hour. It's Blaine and Mickey.
The King!